Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Savvy Dentist Podcast, the show where great dentistry meets great business. You know, every now and then in life, sometimes you get presented with an opportunity that is just so good, you've got to grab it with both hands and run with it. Recently, I was presented with such an opportunity, and that opportunity was to travel across to Necker Island, which is Richard Branson's private island, to get the opportunity to spend some time, not just with Richard Branson himself, but a group of 30-odd global entrepreneurs who are doing some wonderful things around the world. It was a really, really humbling experience. It was a very exciting experience, and I feel very blessed to have had the opportunity to do that. So my heartfelt thanks to Deborah Morrenden and her team at Entrepreneurs Paradise for making it all happen. The purpose of this podcast really is to unpack some of the lessons I learned as a result of that experience. And over the next couple of episodes, I'm going to share with you some things that have come up as a result of that journey, things that are directly relevant and directly applicable to dental practice. So I'm hoping that you guys can get the benefit of that journey as well. So as always, I'm going to encourage you to take some notes because one of my friends is very fond of saying that a blunt pencil is better than a sharp mind. So I hope you take some notes so that you can apply them in your practice and really create a business and a life that you love for yourself. So I guess one of the first lessons I took out of the journey at Necker Island was to put yourself into an interesting situation. And that sounds a little bit unusual, but so let me give you some context there. Obviously, going to Necker Island altogether was an interesting experience. And of course, that was out of the blue. But even once we got to Necker Island, there was an opportunity to put yourself into different and interesting environments as well and see what comes up of it. So the example that really comes to mind for this was that there was a tennis tournament that was going to be played, and you know, I'd played some tennis as a junior, but I hadn't played for 20 years, and I was feeling really nervous about picking up a tennis racket for the first time in a very long time and having the ball travel over the back fence or something ridiculous like that. But as it turned out, you know, I put my name down and we got the opportunity to play this tennis tournament. I didn't play as badly as I thought I might. In fact, I played okay given the circumstances. But what came out of that was an opportunity to not just mix with these other entrepreneurs in a sporting environment and learn from things, but also to play tennis with Richard Branson. I had the very good fortune of being his doubles partner. And one of the things that I learned about observing him play tennis was that as you play games is how you play life. And so, not surprisingly, you might expect Richard Branson to be very competitive on the tennis court. He's out to win. And so when we were playing, we were certainly trying to win and to beat our opponents. And the other thing I can tell you around that, of course, is that Richard Branson's one of his core values, his core beliefs, is to have fun. And so tennis is a really fun pursuit for him. So a couple of things that I would say as a result of playing tennis. The first thing is the way you get to observe people in the sporting environment is often a little bit different to how you might observe them in a work environment. So you get out and meet people in all different circumstances. But had I not put myself forward for that situation, because I was a bit scared, I was a bit intimidated, then never would I've had the opportunity to play tennis with Sir Richard Branson. And that is something that I'll be able to have with me forever, as well as the learnings that came from that as well. So it was a really, really wonderful experience. So I guess my comment to everyone listening would be to say, put yourself into lots of different and unusual environments. Give yourself the opportunity to experience new things, to meet new people, because you just never know what will come of it. Looking at the Necker trip as a whole, you know, thinking of that as a unique experience, then I've really had the opportunity to meet some people I'd never have met before. I've had some conversations I would never have had before. And equally, there's some opportunities that are coming up that would never have occurred had I not put myself in that interesting position as well. So you never know what's around the corner. So I guess my hot tip for number one is to put yourself into new and different environments. Remembering, of course, that many of the best ideas for business are going to come from outside the profession. So you can learn a lot from meeting different people doing different things. So that's lesson number one. Lesson number two came around scaling. Richard Branson runs over 400 companies. That's right, 400, which is just incredible to think of that there's that many businesses. It makes my head hurt just thinking about it. But we had lots of conversations around scaling. And so one of the things that Richard Branson said was to put yourself out of business, not your company out of business, put yourself out of business as quickly as possible. And whenever someone comes up with an idea, there are three letters that make a big difference. And the letters are H, O, and W. And of course, most people ask the how question. How do we do this? How do we do that? And Richard Branson is very, very clear that he asks a different question, and that is a who question. That's a fantastic idea. Who can we get to help us implement that? So it's all about building teams. So to scale comes back to your ability to build and lead a great team. He also spoke a lot about delegation and the trap that many business owners face in terms of delegation. So what he found as a young person suffering from dyslexia is he had a competitive advantage. That's right, a competitive advantage as a result of being dyslexic, because from a very young age, he'd been surrounding himself with smarter people than himself and getting them to help him get what he needed to get done. So I'm going to suggest that one of the keys to scaling is to surround yourself with very smart, very talented people and learn to let go of things. If the job that's being delegated is done 90% as well as you might do it, then that's perfectly fine. So delegate as much as you possibly can. And of course, when it comes to delegation, we all know that there are things that are easier to delegate than others. Things that you don't like, obviously easier to delegate, but the real skill comes from delegating things that you do like and are good at, and getting yourself out of the picture. So what Richard Branson did when he was scaling his businesses, he would set up the team structure, he'd get everything up and running, and then he'd go back and live on his houseboat at the time. The other thing that came out of that conversation with the other entrepreneurs in the audience as well was that there is a relationship between the degree of control and the rate of growth. And the greater your need for control of your business, the slower the rate of growth. So that was a really interesting observation that came out from the scaling conversation. And I'm going to share with you some of Richard Branson's thoughts around scaling.
Well, I think the best advice I can give is to try to put yourself out of business as early as possible in your career, not to bankrupt the company. As soon as possible, try to learn the art of delegation, to try to find somebody better than yourself who can run it on a day-to-day basis. So you're able then to be freed up to look at the bigger picture. You know, if you're interested, maybe even become a serial entrepreneur. If you're interested in, you know, looking after yourself, looking after your family, keeping fit, keeping healthy. I mean, very early on in life, because I can't say no, I was a serial entrepreneur, you know, sort of by mistake. I was, kept on wanting to do new things and kept on seeing situations that I felt needed improving. And so I had to learn to delegate really, really quickly. And I actually went and worked from home in between. I would set up a company, get it going, then go back to my houseboat where my family were. It gave me time to think. But because I wasn't the top person in the building, somebody else then took all those day-to-day niggly things that happen when you're building businesses, which occupy your time. And I was able to, not be bogged down by too much detail. Obviously, you've got to find a really good person. Again, it helped for me that I was dyslexic, so I definitely had a lot of limitations, and therefore being able to delegate was something which I'd spent a lifetime, trying to get other people to help me and things. So delegation, is just critical. And there's obviously a time, you need to work out and growing your business when the right time is. There are some people I know who just are hopeless at delegating. They'll never delegate. They'll stay in the same, the same trap, for year after year after year. They'll always think that somebody else cannot do it as well as they can do it. It may be true. I mean, it could be that the other people could only, sell 90%. You could sell 100%, but if you delegate and somebody's selling 90% products instead of 100%, they're only missing 10%. But by you then being freed up, you can think, you know, you're there to get out, promote the business, get the bigger picture going.
So the third tip I wanted to share with you today was around team, and this obviously follows on from scaling. And one of the key things as a business owner, our job is to be able to find great people and immerse them in a world-class culture. Many people have heard the story of, you know, finding the right people or the right people on the bus. But really, you know, what is the right person? Is it the right skill set? Is it the right price? Is it the right looks? Is it the right gender? You know, who knows what right is? Of course, we do have a picture in our mind of who we're trying to hire. We might have an ideal avatar for an applicant. But really, beyond that and the competencies that come with that person, our job as leaders of the business is to create a great culture. Virgin succeeds to the extent that it does largely because of the culture that Richard Branson and his team have been able to create and sustain. So creating a culture is critical. If you've got people who are very technically competent and really support the culture that you've created, they're obviously A players. If you've got people who are, you know, really on board with the culture but need a little bit of training and development, they're B players. You know, they're easy to train, they're easy to skill up. The hard ones are sometimes people who are very technically competent, but they're not the best culture fit. And we sometimes call those C players. They're hard to work with sometimes. And we've all experienced it. We've got these people who are terrific at their job, but the culture fit's not right and there's backbiting or infighting and things don't work. So creating a great culture is critical. And of course, there's D players, which are, just for completeness, I'll mention, which are people who are not technically competent and don't fit the culture. And clearly, we don't want to have too many of those on the team. So Richard Branson spoke a lot about culture. He spoke a lot about creating fun and having personality as part of the interviewing process being vital for the Virgin brand as well. He also spoke about treating your team genuinely as a family. He made the point that there is a lot of people who espouse to treat their family or their business like a family, but they don't actually live it. And so what he's tried to do at Virgin is to create a genuine family environment rather than some people who say, yes, we're a family, and then treat people like slaves. So he was very, very clear about not expecting people to be slaves to your business, creating a genuine family environment that's underpinned by a culture of performance, it's underpinned by a culture of fun, and it's underpinned by a culture of just getting stuff done. So when it came to finding and developing leaders within the business, Richard Branson obviously recruits externally, but he also has a view of promoting from within, because just because a person starts in a role doesn't necessarily mean they're going to finish their career in that role. So it's about identifying talent and giving those people the opportunity to grow into new roles. Now, of course, we see that in dentistry sometimes, and sometimes it's appropriate for, you know, the dental assistant become the receptionist, become the practice manager, and other times it's not appropriate. So it's about identifying those people with potential to really go on and do great things. So there's a couple of lessons from Necker Island. I hope you've enjoyed these tips, these lessons. I hope you've managed to keep some notes there, because this is wisdom from one of the world's greatest business owners, one of the world's leading entrepreneurs, and you guys are in the front seat to hear what he has to say. So I hope you've enjoyed this episode. If you have enjoyed this episode, please like it, share it, distribute it, whatever you'd like to do. Send us some feedback. And of course, over the next couple of episodes, we'll be bringing you more lessons from Necker Island. So until then, take care. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast. For more episodes, go to drjessegreen.com/savvydentist. And to discover how to build a high-performance dental practice, visit drjessegreen.com and download the free report.